Station number 11460. Your 4.
Mr. Thompson, Reel 4. We were talking about the time you'd been in the St. Julian sector and then back in rest in early April. What about the lead up to the big German attack? What do you remember about that?
Oh, just the same as just like carry on from where you left off, that's about all. Until you get to the place. Up to the trenches again, ready for the attack on. Trying to take back Hill 60 again, you see.
No, but...
Oh, well, they were stopped. The Canadians stopped them.
Did you see any of that at all?
Just when we were tired, watching them coming down. And our fellas helped the Canadians to hold them back. That was the main battle, near the canal.
But yeah. Your battalion wasn't in the front line?
Oh, no, not that time, no.
So we were
what you call reserves. Reserves.
And you'd been out there for a while then, had you?
Oh, yes.
And what do you remember? You weren't involved in the extra. Did you smell the gas?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes. Smelt it. I wondered what it was. What grand smell. Because the Canadians, poor fellows, were falling down with it. Gas, you know. Yes.
You didn't know what it was?
No. Nobody knew what it was.
What did it smell of, roughly?
Oh, it's like some smell like hay, you know? Hay, you know? Hay smell.
Did you take any precautions, or did you not know what to do?
Oh, well, there was nothing you could do. There was nothing then. And then after that, they got sent out what you call swabs.
What were they?
They're just like a bit of gauze, you know? Gauze you put on a wool with this length, and on the end there's a bit of elastic, you know, so you wet them, put your water bottle or a hole you come to a water and put them around your mouth here and put the elastic over the box, it's like you're doing like this on your mouth. So we were issued to them, that's before they had the gas mask, you know, the swabs.
So you didn't actually have any fighting role during the Second Battle of Ypres?
No.
So the first thing that really happened to you was this, was the last thing as
That's
well,
right.
This attack on Mount Camp.
Hill 60.
Hill 60, sorry, yes. And what, can you take us through exactly what happened to you? Did you get a briefing before the attack?
Oh, yes.
What did they tell you?
Oh, we were told there was going to be an attack on Hill 60, you see, to try and take it back from the Germans again, you see. The Germans, they took it.
During their advance?
That's right. They took it, and our fellows was to bombard the barbed wire, you see, to make it easier for the likes of us and the infantry to take it back again that night, you see. So our fellows was shelling as it happened. We knew after, we didn't know at the time, our shells was falling short.
Into no man's land?
And no man's land, you see, missing the wire all the time. Yards and yards short of the wire. That's what I was told then. Of course, I didn't see it because it's dark. But anyway, our shells were dropping short and never hitting the wire at all to blast it up, you know.
That was a nighttime bombardment.
That's right.
And do you know the date?
The date, that would be the 11th of April. 11th when the shelling started, that was right.
I thought that's when you got to France, the 11th and 12th of April.
Oh no, that's when I was wounded on the 12th.
You were wounded on the 12th?
And that was before the big attack, you see. The 11th, that was the night when they bombarded this wire, which was dropping short, and they never bombarded it at all.
So what was the date you got to France? Can I just get that? You'd been there about a month, sir?
About a month.
So, early March,
right.
So, what happened next? This bombardment was going on during the night.
That's shelling the wire. That was the attack on the Hill 60 when I was wounded.
And where were you all during the bombardment?
Well, we were in the trench.
In the front line.
In the front line trench.
Before going out.
Oh, well, you just felt like, so, well, this is it now. It'll case it sink or swim. So we got all ready for the attack. See, and then
how did you get ready?
We were all ready on the firing step. Okay, just keeping down, you see. And then they got the other two over the top and charge, you see. So we're over the top, fixed bayonets, and charge. And of course, it was like pie meat for the Germans. Everybody was nearly getting fast in the trench, in the barbed wire, you know. It was never broken. There was Germans at that side, there was Germans there with their machine guns, and Germans all over the place with machine guns. We were just cutting our troops, you know, it's like cutting hay.
So you got out of the trench?
Oh, yes. And over the top.
And what kit were you carrying?
Oh, just your ammunition and your rifle, that was all.
So not a lot of kit?
Oh, no, your kit was in the trench. I don't know who would get all mine, anyway, I didn't get it.
Can you remember what happened? You got out of the train?
Yes, yes.
And what happened to you? Take us through what happened.
Well, we advanced, you see, maybe 5 or 10 yards, and the fire would, oh, it was rapid, continuous machine gun fire, you know, and shrapnel bursting, everything like that, so I felt myself getting, you know, blasted, and I just tumbled upside down. Oh, dear me, I must be hit somewhere. And then I got another one on this side, and then the shell burst, and I got some on this left side. And, oh, I was in the right.
So you only got about 10 yards?
Just about 10 yards, and some no got that length. It was killed, just going over the trench.
What was it that made you be able to run into that sort of fire? Because
I don't know, that was your training, you see, just keep going, making for the German trenches, you see, to take them on fighting.
You were scared at the time.
Well, you sort of wonder when you're going to be shot next. So I was shot next.
So where were you hit first then? What happened first?
This explosive bullet, this one here.
An explosive bullet hit your left arm.
Left arm, right up to there, split right up to the elbow, from there right down here.
From the forearm.
The forearm, yeah. And there's another, and hit it, and start again. And I had to go another bullet through here.
Through the wrist?
No, there. The hole's there, in there.
Just above the
just
wrist?
Just there, And it did for my thumb, you see. There, you see. They cut the sinew there. And then this was all doors, like a pipe running.
And you got hit by a shell as well?
Oh, yeah. Shrapnel. Then I got hit again in the stomach here. We have got a shell.
The left hand?
Left hand's there. It made a hole here in the side. And that was running of blood.
And this more shrapnel
in the shoulder, up here. Still there on this side. Not much, just not much, mind you.
And this all happened at once?
It's all just about the never mind minutes, seconds. It's all in a bunch, all one after the other. I was knocked right upside down. And I was sort of just, you know, dazed, and I said, well, to myself, I came this way, so I'll go back the same way. So I crawled back on the one arm, you know, and shoved myself on the ground.
Were the wounds hurting straight away? Or
No. I knew I was hit, but I didn't know what the results was at the time.
Was the fire still going on?
Oh, any amount. Oh, helter-skelter.
And did you see what was happening to the second attack?
Well, no. I couldn't see anything for blood on myself. I was plastered in blood all the time.
You were covered in blood.
Oh, see, when you hit like that, your arms are sort of, you know, sort of like that. You see, and then every time I was plastered.
Yeah, blood all over your head and eyes.
Oh, and I managed to crawl back to the trench again. And got in there, so some of the boys from the Red Cross job go holding me and pulled me down off the step and got me sort of down. And they put swabs and swabs of cotton wool. I was like this, a cotton wool on me.
Good trenches were right
out.
So when you got into the trench, they stretcher buried you, did they?
Yes, I wouldn't go in the stretcher though.
Why not?
I said, if you go on a stretcher high up, I said, of course, you see the cuss there, they'd snipe you down again. I says, oh, I says, I'll get down somewhere, don't you worry about me.
So you were worried about them carrying the stretcher above the level of the trench. How did you make your way?
There's one good big fella, he says, how heavy are you? Oh, I says, nearly 11 stone. He says, get on, Mucking. So they pointed the ears back and he carried me down in shifts, you know. Carried me down to the dressing station, what you call just the dressing station. So you were parting down the line. So they got me in there and the doctor, there was a doctor, the UK first aid man, and still put some more cotton wool on me. Never took the first bit off. Just put some on the top of the other one.
So you got into the trench, they'd given you some first aid at the dressing post, and then this chap had carried you on his back to the next
station.
And was that the casualty clearance station?
The casualty clearance station, you see. So they got me down there and put it to the side of the stretcher line on the floor, you see. First one was pegged out, another one was pegging out, you know, dying with wounds. They put me down here to you. I said, hey, I says, I'm not staying here very long. I says, I'm not dying. I says, get me out of here, it's pretty like. I say, if you didn't get me out, I says, I'll crawl out. Anyway, they got me. This is my, of course, I couldn't say it the same as I'm telling you, like, just something mumbled, you know. With the guy, so I understood what I was saying. So anyway, I go to there. I saw crawl outside.
Yes.
Oh yes, they were sore.
It was starting to come on.
And then this arm was absolutely useless. So they put a sling on it and kept it up a wee bit. Sling around my neck, you know, a bit of tape stuff. And then from there, sending the line again. It was onto a truck, so, you know, the old army trucks. It was a truck.
You put on the truck.
And then the truck went into a shell hole, and so Joe was getting that out. I was in the truck, and I was in the, I guess it was one of the lads getting into the truck, and I was sitting near the boat at the backboard, you know. Every bump says, I was getting another bump again. Like when you're sitting in the back, you get all the, you up and down. Anyway, we didn't do another dressing station.
You must have been in pain then.
Oh, it was sore. And
Were you conscious all the time?
Oh yes. Oh, I didn't get conked out. They didn't do that to me. I said to myself, well, that, see, boy, something was saying you're a tough guy. Oh, I says, I'm a tough, all right. Because again, I was thinking, well, that was a good, being a good practice trainer in my youth, you know.
Did you get a tetanus injection or any other injection?
Yes.
Where did you get that at?
I got that in the hospital when I took it.
Oh, sorry, we'll come back to that.
They took us to the hospital, you see.
This truck took you to the hospital?
Yes, and the dressing station.
Down,
you know. Of course, you could get shelled just the same, but you were sort of safe then. You know, you could safe. And they got all this stuff off me here, you see. And
they got the cotton wool off?
Put it all off and put fresh stuff on and bathed it all, washed it, and gave me an injection of some kind. I don't know what it was. So then they got my side all done, put that bandaged up. And my arm started here, and they put my nose bandaging right up to the elbow here.
All around your arm?
It was in a sling. And then I got put into another hospital, big hospital. Into a, you know, proper hospital bed, you know. I said, bed, you know. I says to myself, well, Alec, you're right, you don't know if you keep going. Of course, the gas has taken the effect too, you see. Still, there was plenty worse than what I was, you know, they couldn't talk at all.
So although you hadn't had much gas, the effects were still...
Oh, it's still there. Still there a wee bit. Always coughing, you know. Cough. I said, you were sick of me coughing. Oh, it's quite all right. You can't help it. I don't quite understand, he used to say. So this doctor came around with the nurse into around this hospital with the beds, right? So he had a chat. He didn't examine me or anything like that, you know. He just looked at the report. He says, I can hear him yet, saying to the nurse sister. He says, you know, he's in a very bad way, so get him across to England as quick as possible. I can mind him saying that, same as I'm telling you now. I thought myself, well, by Jove, I'm going to be sent here. came, that's homely. So I was sent with the first route out to the hospital. The nurse says, "Well," says, you're very lucky. Once you're sent away right away to England, she says, to get you sort of again. She says, you're supposed to be very ill. I says, "Oh, I'm not that bad, surely." Anyway, I got sent down to the with a truck down to those ambulance barges on the canal. You see, I think it was two little piers, you know, not a boat. We didn't ambulance boats take me right down the river to Le Havre. Le Havre, okay, the barbers.
That must have been more comfortable than the road.
Oh yes, oh it is. Just like lying your bed in the house, on the barges, you know.
And what beds did they have?
Oh, just throwing the hospital beds on the barges. Boy, there's a tug, you know, a little tug, towing the barges down. But you didn't travel at night time. You had to travel just through the day. It's like the roads. You can then sort of lay-bys, and you know, for the going in for the night, not to interfere with other traffic going up the lake, up the canals, I should say, the lake canals.
And did you have nurses?
Oh yes, and doctors, you know, doctors. Of course, it was a case of just stay there at night, you see, and then daylight the next day, you just went away again for the next part of the journey till you got to Le Havre, and then it is into the harbour, out of there, into the hospital train, and then from there, we didn't know where we were going, and then I discovered after that it was the Edinburgh train that I was on.
So, you got to Le Havre, straight aboard the hospital ship,
uh-huh.
And then across to
Southampton.
And did you get a choice of where you were going to?
No.
So it was just luck you were going to Edinburgh.
That's right. That's how I was sent by train.
Were you satisfied with the treatment you'd had from everybody so far?
Couldn't have been better. I said, "You see, rather kind." I said, "I hope you know, just think now, for me being young, you're just making a dole of me." "Oh, no," I said, "I'm quite willing to rough it the same as the rest, you know." "Oh, no, that's quite all right. It's quite all right. Nice to see you, you know, very nice." Everybody was extremely good to me, I must say, from start to finish. They couldn't have been better. And I was sent from there to Craigleith, Edinburgh.
To where?
Craigleith in Edinburgh. That was the name of the big house. Just a house converted into a hospital. And the doctors there too. Then had a visit to the head man of the doctors there, Colonel something. He came round to some more doctors in the morning, you know, examining all the beds and the patients. So he says, and I can mind him saying, he says, "How are you?" I says, "Fine, sir. Thank you, sir." "Are you all right?" I said, "Oh, yes." He says, you know. He says, you're just saying that. He says, "How old are you?" I says, now he says, "Your proper age." I says, 18, sir. And he says, "You put yourself off at 19. I say, "You're 19 here." I said, "Yes." He says, you're a damn fool. He says, "Sister, I can't mind him saying that." He says, "But never mind." He says, "I admire your pluck." He says, "Good luck to you." He says, "Good luck to you." He says, "You should have been at home yet." He says, "Never mind in the army." He says, "Never mind." He says, "You'll pull through." I says, "Thank you, sir." Of course, muttering it to me, I couldn't speak hardly. And mind you, they couldn't have been nicer to me. Everybody, the hospital, they treated me like a baby. Very, very good. The doctors too, they used to come round and say, "I'll bring a pal with me. I'll bring a pal round to have a chat with you." They used to be with another doctor, and he would have a go with me. You know. I used to say, "Bye, you doctors, you're just a bruise," you know, and they used to sit and laugh. Because they, oh.
And what about the treatment? The wound in your stomach, how did that go on?
Oh, fine. They wouldn't have got along with that.
And what about the shrapnel down your side in your shoulder?
Well, the doctor, he used to get me out of the bed in the morning and sit on a chair just like that, beside the bed, you know. And he used to get another chair and sit there. And you know, the forceps, you know, it's like scissors for cutting hair, you know, with the blunt ends on them for picking them. I used to get the bandages all on. And he'd start, he said, oh, I'm going to have a bit more than sufficient. You know, he talked about fishing. So he'd sit there, you know, tight up against me. He said, Sus, just get this bottom on a bit more than stuff, you know. So there's no blood getting out. And he'd fuck up and fuck up. And, oh, I've got another bit here. And to another tray, you know, another bit of bone.
He'd say, that was from your arm, was
it? The bottom, he's, you know. Didn't oh,
hurt?
It's... No way, but not much. He'd say, well, I think that'll do you this morning. So we'll maybe try another day's fishing tomorrow morning again. I'll say, all right, so just like that. You know.
So your arm and the thumb were the main problems?
Oh, yes. This arm here.
So the shoulder and the
shoulder on the left-hand side and the arm on the left. That was the main problem then. But my stomach, well, that was... The shrapnel there too, but they took all the bits there. They had an operation for that too, you see, later on. Little bits of shrapnel, what I found in the...
But they weren't the problem, really?
No, this is the problem. This, see, it was split right up here, you see, right up.
The bone was split?
The flesh here, and then the bone was all broken, you see, right down here, right down with them. And then you see, well, they couldn't do anything with that, you see, it's away already. So anyway... You step up and going out again to fish some more bones out. So you'll see them near them where I'm left, all the bits of bones. I'll say, well, like a dog, I'll get a bone down again. Oh, they were awful nice to me.
What about, did you get any visitors, your family?
Oh, yes. My brother, he was through to see me. And then my father, he was ill. He died when I was in hospital. That was another blow. So I said, I'd like to go home. Oh, but you can't go home. You're not fit to travel. I said, I have to go. I said, my father says, I want to go at my father's funeral. So anyway, they had decided to let me go, you see. So they got me all strapped up and they took me to the Waverley Station in Edinburgh. We had an ambulance. They got me on a train there for Berwick, and I was met there. So I let her to the doctor. Now be sure and go to your doctor whenever you go home. Doctor at Eyemouth. I said, I'll just get somebody to take you down. So anyway, I did what I was told to do. Came to Eyemouth here at Eyemouth Mill. She was stayed there, my father. So I said, I better go. And so they took me down to the doctor. They called them Herman. That's the first house you come into Eyemouth here now. Doctor, he's a fellow who's over 6 feet. So... went up the door. Oh, he says, hello, Alec. He says, what's the matter? Oh, he says, you was wondering. I says, yes. I says, I have a letter here from the hospital to give to my doctor and went home. So I gave him the doctor, you see. And so he says, come along. And so we went into his house and he stripped off my arm. So he says, well, Alec, I may as well tell you. He says, oh, what a so-and-so mess. He says, swear, he says, well, it's a so-and-so mess. I said, it's a so-and-so mess, doctor. Oh, never mind, he says, you're here. I said, oh, yes, says, that's the main thing. He says, oh, he says, you're a coward. He says, you're, I know, he says, you're a tough guy. He says, I knew you when you used to go training. He says, so he says, you're tough enough. So anyway, he got me bandaged up again, so I went every twice a day. The time I was in Eyemouth, you see, my father's funeral. I had to go back again to the hospital, of course.
How did your mother react when she saw you so badly smashed up?
Oh, she was never right. She took it well. She took it well.
Now, the doctor had mentioned it. You've been very keen on physical culture,
oh,
you know,
yes,
and all
yes,
that sort of
yes.
thing. And now you had your left side generally pretty smashed up and your left eye
yes,
useless.
Yes.
I mean, did that depress you at all?
No. I said, oh, well, we'll get better sometime. No. I said, I've always one arm, I can... part of it without arm yet.
So you didn't let it get you down?
No, never.
So how long were you on leave in Eyemouth?
At that time?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe 4 days, maybe five at the most. I had to go report back to Craigleith again, to hospital. And then, funny thing, when I reported about it, he says, do you know you've been absent? I says, absent? I says, how? I says, I had permission to go. There must have been a mistake, so I was at the hospital. They couldn't have looked for me. They never reported that I was away. to my father. Oh, they said there was a mistake. In fact, old Colonel looked to see me. He said, a mistake somewhere. He said, there was bad work at the clerks in the office. I got it all squashed up, like they took my word for it. I said, if it hadn't been that, I said, I wouldn't have been home. That's all. So I was there for quite a while, Craigleith Hospital.
About how long? I mean, wounded in April.
About the 12th of May.
12th of May?
12th of May.
Ah, not April, no, I thought. No, so. 12th of May you were wounded.
12th of May, yes. 12th of May.
You were there for summer, were you?
I was there for quite a bit of... more than a month, anyway. Then I was sent out to Trinity House, Dutch down in Leith, Trinity House, for a while there, and then I was sent back to the hospital again, clearly.
Why were you sent to Trinity House, for anything?
Just for a change. Just for a change, you see. So it might not be for long, but I was sent. Oh, I said, that's grand. So, of course, I was walking about then, you see. I was up, walking about, all bandaged up in slings on, head pulled down with the weight. So I was there for quite a while and they sent me back again for more treatment to the hospital, you know, the best hospital.
Were you on any sort of physiotherapy by
no,
then?
No,
you,
no.
They were still getting them, things work better?
That's right. So I was sent back there again to Craigleith and then I was sent from there for a while. I was sent to a place to name it.
Rosewell?
Whitehill, Rosewell. That's in Midlothian. You know, Whitehill House, that was it, Whitehill. And the little village, Rosewell, a colliery place. And I was there for quite a while. I think they took pity on me for being so young, you know, and I think they kept me in hospital. Kept me back to the army again. I used to tell them that, you know. I said, oh, you're just making a fuss of me, he says, because I'm just young. Oh, no, 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 he used to say. So I was there for a long time at Rosewell. So they sent me back again after treatment there, back to, what do you call it again, Craigleith. And I was examined there again. So they kept me there a while. So I said, by Jove, I said, Dr. Hank, you should write me away. And I said, I'm feeling fine. Are you sure? I said, oh, yes. He says, you're not, you know. He says, never mind. He says, I'll mark you out there. I said, yes. He says, give me about 14 days holiday. So I've got 14 days holiday and then it says you'll rejoin your unit. And it says, we'll see what can happen to you then. It says, I've got 40.
How long were you in hospital altogether?
Oh, nearly 7 months altogether.
So that would be right through to December or
that's
January?
That's right.
So December 15, January
16. Oh, you see, I went in there in the May, in Edinburgh, like the end of May, or we're in April, some of the dates, I just kind of mean that it's till the end of January, and then into December. It's all hospital stuff. Hospital and again different places I should go to.
And you still hadn't started any physio to
get
you out of work?
No. Well, they did give a wee bit massage, my arm, you know, but I used to take pity on the fellas that was doing it. I says, you know, I'm sorry I have to tell you, but I says, you know, you're not doing me any good. I says, I didn't want to upset your job, you know, deprive you kind of get the job. You used to sit on an army trestle, you used to sit facing me like this, and you used to rub. I says, I'll be very honest, I says, you may as well rub the chair leg, as far as I'm concerned. But I said, I didn't want to stop you getting the job.
Could you not feel anything in your arm?
Just a wee bit, yes, a wee bit.
Could you move the joint?
Oh, I could use, I could begin to use my elbows like that, you see.
From side to side,
yeah. So the fellas says, well, if you think I'm not doing much good to you, you may as well stop her up, and I said, you may as well. So that was a massage that I got.